Now, you talked about how this, you called it a momentous leap.
Yeah.
From pluralistic to integral has particular significance and is sort of like a cliff in some ways.
Yeah.
This is my language, but that there's a bigger shift.
Yeah.
Than moving through the other waves of development. Why is that? Why is this such a huge development?
It started because it was just noticed by researchers that that's what happened. So one of the first to notice it was Abraham Maslow, and he was developing, of course, a hierarchy of needs. That is, again, hierarchy doesn't mean bad ranking. It means increasing levels of expanding care, expanding compassion, and expanding consciousness. So in that sense, hierarchy is an increasing capacity for wholeness. And only when it's really badly misused does it become a ranking system. Maslow was looking at this needs enveloping, this needs hierarchy, this nested hierarchy of increasing needs. And he found a big disjuncture between what he called deficiency needs and being needs. And they were just completely, it was just a huge leap. Deficiency needs tended to mark what we're calling, again, these first five or so stages. And a person is motivated out of a feeling of lack. I'm missing something and I must have it. And that's a deficiency need. And the first five needs were deficiency needs. But then starting at this higher wave, people didn't act out of a feeling of lack, but out of a feeling of fullness. They were so full that they were motivated to do something out of abundance or exuberance. It was an entirely different kind of motivation. He at one point called it needs and meta-needs, and deficiency needs and being needs. And he went on to investigate these being needs and found them to be higher needs of self-actualization, self-transcendence, and spent his sort of last part of his life investigating those, really brilliant research. A contemporary of his, Claire Graves, was investigating the values line. What do you consider valuable? And Graves found eventually eight major waves, and the two higher waves, which are together what we're calling integral, he called second tier, and the first, what we're calling five levels, up to pluralistic, he called first tier. And that was the big leap, was between first tier and second tier, or between what we're calling the pluralistic and the integral level. And he found two things happen with this momentous leap. One is fear drops off across almost all domains. It dramatically plunges, and there's just a almost shocking reduction of fear. The second thing that happens when you move from level five to level six is that there is a intuitive appreciation of the first five levels. And that's why it tends to be called integral. And that is, the integral wave is the first that lets the pluralistic wave be pluralistic and the rational wave be rational and the conformist be conformist and egocentric be egocentric and archaic be archaic. It doesn't contend with these other value systems. It lets them be as they are. And so if you take somebody who's at this integral level, and we're calling it wave six, and you put them in a room with somebody who's postmodern, modern, and traditional, so you have four people at these four different levels. The individuals of traditional, modern, and postmodern, and you interview them after all four of them talk, the individuals at traditional, modern, and postmodern will have very negative things to say about each other. Postmodernists despise modernists. Modernists are very suspicious of traditionalists. Traditionalists think both modernists and postmodernists are going to hell. So you let them talk, and they will eventually get on each other's nerves. If you ask them what they thought about this other person, integral, none of them are upset by him. They might not think he or she is the greatest person in the world, but they said, you know, he's okay. He was all right. It was those other two people that drove me nuts. And that's Claire Graves actually called the integral level a universal donor, because it sort of gives equally to any value structure that it finds. And it's a very interesting shift, this momentous leap of meaning. And probably the reason it happens, my own theory about why it happens, and why it also marks the shift from deficiency needs to being needs, is that you're increasingly, as we've been talking about, what development means is increasingly letting go of lower and lower identifications. And that means that you're increasingly finding a wider identity with more and more things in the universe, in the cosmos. And at some point, every now and then, there come these great sort of leaps. And when you go from first tier to second tier, gray sound that people are just almost no longer identifying with just an individuality. They feel that they're part of a very large systematic whole. People at that level of development start to say things like, the earth is one organism with a single consciousness, and I'm one with that. They say those kinds of things. And because of that, because they're no longer so intensely identified with their individual self, fear drops off, because fear is, I'm afraid something's going to happen to me. But when you are one with everything that's arising, there's no fear in that state, because there's nothing outside of you that can hurt you or harm you. And the ultimate sort of dropping away is what Zen calls body-mind dropped. That's a famous koan. It's a realization that you are not your body and mind. Those are things that you can look at, and therefore they're not the witness. They're not what you are. They're not this unborn original face that is your real being. So that leap from first to second tier is a dropping away of identification with individuality. Now, it's still there. You know where your body is. If somebody says, hey, can you answer? And, you know, it's not that kind of thing. But there's just access to this increasingly wider, deeper, ever-present dimension of awareness that transcends individuality, and therefore some people start to call transpersonal, trans-individual. And because of that, there's this befriending of all of the previous levels of development. Whereas the first tier, all of the first tier levels and waves don't like each other. They just don't get along well, and they really think they've got the one correct way to do it. The postmodern pluralists, who want to include everybody, don't want to include capitalists, they don't want to include fundamentalists, they don't want to include patriarchal societies, they want to exclude just as much as every other first tier wave wants to exclude. So only with the integral do you start to get this really extraordinary compassionate embrace that lets these earlier levels be exactly as they are. So that was just something that came out of research that these various developmentalists, they just happened to note it in the data that that's what was showing up. And so we sort of put it into a broader framework, and it kind of makes sense in terms of the overall things we're talking about, but it's based actually on research that was done. And it's very interesting. It's absolutely fascinating, the kind of stuff going on.
What you're saying about the reduction of fear, that's particularly interesting to me, because when I think of people that I might identify as integral humans, I can still see in them and in myself quite a bit of fear around different issues. And so it makes me think that this leap doesn't happen all at one time, 100% of your being.
Right, and you have to know what they were before the leap. They could have been much more fearful. A scary thought, but nevertheless. And you really had to kind of track it over that long term. And again, yes, technically what you're really looking at is levels and lines. Because what it means is that wherever there's identification, there's fear. Because that's sort of the nature of that's how fear comes about, is you're defending something against annihilation, threat, hurt, pain, shame, or whatnot. And so the more you're letting go of particular identifications, then the less fearful you are about those. And we've all had experience of that. We're really afraid of something, or I didn't want to lose face. And then you sort of go through it and you go, oh, God, I mean, that's all there is to it? That's pretty interesting. Because what you are, that great I am-ness, that empty witness itself is never fundamentally affected. So all the fears that we hold in front of us eventually turn out to be vapor when we go through them, because it doesn't affect I am-ness. You're still there. Even your death doesn't affect I am-ness. That's why people have near-death experiences realize that what they are isn't affected by death. So their fear drops off real fast too. That's sort of like third tier, if you want to think of it like that. But people that you think of as integral may or may not have had this happen in a lot of their different intelligences or lines or aspects. But if they really are integral to some degree, that's happened, certainly compared to where they were previously.
It's good news, fear dropping off. That's good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
This concludes session 4 of Cosmic Consciousness with Ken Wilber. Our program continues with session 5.